We'll start off with, I'd like for you to tell me your full name, including your maiden name.
My name is Emery, spelled E-M-R-Y. Lois is my middle name, and my maiden name was Woods.
Woods.
And my married name is Cook.
Cook. Do you mind telling me when you were born?
I was born in 1929.
Date?
July 15th.
July 15th, 1929. See, I came out of high school. Well, came out of elementary school. Now, were you born here?
No, I was born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yeah, in the country life.
Uh-huh. And how many children were in your family?
Six.
Six.
And I'm the third.
You're the third.
Third from the oldest.
Who's the oldest?
Fred Woods is the oldest. Fred.
That's Fred at the box shop.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And I have a sister.
You know Fred's birthday?
First of June, 1925.
1925, okay. And who came after Fred?
Livonia.
Spell
it. L-E-E-V-O-N-I-A.
L-E-E-V-O-N-I-A. Uh-huh. What is her married name?
Her married name is Markham. M-A-R-K-H-A-M.
Does she live here?
She live in Ann Arbor.
In Ann Arbor, okay. Now, and then you were third.
I'm third.
Who was fourth?
Fourth was Sarah Bell.
Sarah Bell.
S-A-R-A. Uh-huh. Bell. Uh-huh. And she's a porter.
She spelled Bell with an E? Mm-hmm. B-E-L-L-E?
No, B-E-L-L.
B-E-L-L. Uh-huh. And she is married to a porter.
Porter. Uh-huh.
Where is she?
She lives in Exeter.
In Exeter. Uh-huh.
And then who followed her? Early. E-A-R-L-I-E.
Oh.
Yes. And hers is a May.
That's early May.
Uh-huh. And she's a Woods, and she's still a Woods.
Does she live here?
She live in Ann Arbor.
In Ann Arbor.
And then John A., just like Reverend Jett Woods. Mm-hmm. And he live in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio. Uh-huh. Now, I guess the thing that I fell off on, I was thinking when you said early, that's interesting because my father was an early, but spelled with a Y.
Well, at first, we spelled it with the Y. Uh-huh. But then, you know, as you get modern, as things go on, you change the spelling. So it changed.
Well, evidently, some time ago, I found quite a few people during that particular time. Now, my father was born around 1880 something, I guess. I know when he died in 1924, he was 33 years old. So I was 1890 something. But anyway, I found quite a few people named Early coming out of that period.
From
that period.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just like James and Albert and other names, I can see the Early May.
She didn't like the spelling, so she changed it.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to spell, just like mine. I never used my first name because people always spell it wrong.
Oh, it's kind of hard. People like me always get in there and dig, and I know what it is.
Yeah, E-M-O-R-Y, E-M-E-R-Y, so it doesn't.
Name.
Yeah.
It distinguishes you from other people.
Yes.
Everybody, not many people name Emery Lowe.
No. Yeah. So I don't, and it's hard to remember. So my doctor and my dad used to call me when he got mad with me.
Call you Emery?
Yeah, my mother do. No, he called me, say Emery.
Oh, huh.
And my grandmother used to call me Emery when I was doing something I didn't have no business doing.
Now, let me see. The thing that I got off on as you was relating them, I was forgetting to ask you the birth dates, particularly those that live in this area.
Let's see, Livonia's...
You gave me the first one.
Fred. Livonia is October the 17th, 27. Sarah is July the 8th, 31. And Early is February the 9th, 33. And John is March the 24th, I think. 35.
You're pretty good.
Yeah, wait till I get to my kids. Sometimes I forget. Forget about it.
Okay. Now, you, of course, married the Cook. What's Cook's first name?
Joseph.
Joseph Cook. And you have how many children?
I have 9.
You have 9 children. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Okay.
I have 8 boys and 1 girl.
8 boys and 1 girl. Let's start off with the first one and see if you can name those with their birthdays.
First one name is Joseph Cook Jr.
Joseph E. Cook Jr.
And his birthday is November the 23rd, 1950. And then there's Darlene Cook, and she's a West.
She's a West now, okay.
And hers is the 7th of November, 51. Mm-hmm. And then there's Thomas Eugene, whose name, Dr. Bass's name. Uh-huh. And his is November the 1st, 1953. And then Clyde Lohr, who is November the 14th, 1954. And then there's Lucius Martin.
Lucius.
And we dropped the Lucius. And because he's retired. So we dropped the Lucius and he just used Martin. Mm-hmm. And he was born January 22nd, 56. And then there's Dean Sherman. He was born, July the 5th, 58. And then there's Alvin Blake. And his is October the 20th, 1959. And then there is Harold Wren, who is
R-E-N.
And his is September the 18th, 1960. And then there's Terry Leon, who is January the 15th, 1963. And that's 9.
That's the last one.
Yeah. Now,
just for the record, how many grandchildren do you have?
I have 7.
7 grandchildren.
I have 5 boys and 2 girls. And the first one is a girl and the last one is a girl. And all in between is boys.
Now, let's back up once more, and I'm just getting these for the record now. Your father's name?
Sam Jack Woods.
Sam Jack Woods. Okay. And he married your mother who was?
Ethel Lee Collier.
Collier. C-O-L-L-I-E-R. Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Now that was in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And
my grandmother was Sarah Woods.
Sarah Woods.
Uh-huh. And that was my father's mother.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, what year, did I get that? Came here?
My brother came here. Must have been in 42 or 41. And my daddy came in 43. And we came in 44. Yeah. I was 14 years old.
Now, did your husband come here from Alabama or was he already here? You married here.
See, I went to school here.
Yeah.
My husband had been here. And then he went in the service from here.
Oh, I see.
And then when he came back from the service, he came back here.
Now, that puts you in here in a very crucial period of the development of the Ipsan. You just said you went to school here.
Right.
Tell me about some of your experiences in public schools.
Well, you know, it's always seemed strange with, people talking about busing. Mm-hmm. We came here in 44, and we lived on First Avenue for about a month or 2 months. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, they just began to open the old Willow Village.
Yeah.
And we moved out there. And we lived there from, we must have moved in July, August. Mm-hmm. We lived there from August to they tore it down. And I went to school from ninth grade. We was bused into Ypsilanti High School from ninth grade on. And by the time, my sister, who was behind me, they did have an eighth grade. They had seventh and eighth grade and ninth grade there. But then we didn't have no high school.
Yeah.
So we was bused to Ipsy High. Mm-hmm. And it was,
it wasn't no big thing.
No, no. You sit on the bus everywhere, and the bus would come all the way out of Michigan Avenue, mm-hmm. pick us up, and then come on back and pick up, the other kids, the white kids. And, you got on the bus, and you sit on the bus, and then you got to school. And,
But your philosophy was different, though. Your philosophy was then, you were trying to cut out the one-room school. And they were trying to say that the larger the unit, the more facilities they could put into the unit.
Yeah.
So they figured if they cut out these little one-room schools like the guy went to that time, and then make a consolidated school, that's mm-hmm. what we used to call it, consolidated,
mm-hmm.
then you could have more courses, more offerings in the larger school. And that was the total philosophy.
Yeah, and then
later, you see, your objective was not that. Your objective was integration.
Integration, yeah.
And that's when you got a different kind of.
I think one of the things when they opened up the old village, they didn't think the people's had kids would had went beyond the fifth, sixth, and seventh grade, so they had to have somewhere to put them.
Yeah.
And then no school, only a couple schools, so and it grows so fast.
Yeah, right.
So they had to send them, had to bus them. So buses to me haven't been no problem.
When your father and mother came here, did your father work with the bomber plant?
My brother worked with the bomber plant, and my father worked for. At that time, it wasn't Michigan Consolidated. They had some other farmer gas, and he worked at the gas company until the Michigan Consolidated bought it. They changed over from natural gas or whatever the gas was to Michigan Consolidated. And then he started working for Stoveworth.
Who?
Stoveworth, who is now Norris Industry, bought out that company. He retired from there.
Yeah.
And my brother, he when the bomb plant closed, he went to Ford Ruich plant.
Oh, I see.
And he worked there, and then he transferred finally back to generate.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when you were in high school, tell me about your life in the high school. What did you do besides go to class?
That's about it.
Were you encouraged to get into any other activities?
Not really, because we had the bus. We was bus students.
Yeah.
So we had to catch it up. We didn't have time to do anything else. Because I didn't participate in no sport. We had in the class sports, but not, no after school stuff. And then by the time I was, the second year, I got a job and started working after school, so.
When you, as a part of your school work, now, were any of those teachers black by the time you got
All
white.
All white.
Were you given any kind of black orientation? Anywhere
no. By the time
black
I got
history, black literature.
See, by the time I got to the 12th grade, we was begin to get some little taste of the history, but not no in depth.
Yeah.
No in depth at all.
Do you recall when you were in high school whether there were blacks involved in, say, basketball?
Mm-hmm.
That were involved
mm-hmm.
in.
I went to school with Leo Clark and mm-hmm. Lawrence Perry and Eugene Jacob, and all of those guys was involved in football and basketball and track and baseball.
Choir?
No, we had one boy that was involved in choir, and that was Darryl Davis. And he was almost one that was
man,
really
involved.
Yeah,
yeah. But I was just wondering how many people were able to take advantage of the musical programs and programs of that type.
I guess if you didn't have no voice, you know, why join the choir?
Yeah, you can always find, if you got blacks, you can always find at least one or two that's got
Daryl Davis was the only somebody out of a lot of class that was in a choir. I was there long about the time Van Zetti was in school.
Uh-huh.
I guess he graduated the year that I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, kids wasn't interested in choir. They was, you know, football and basketball was that thing, and, you know, that was it. Track, very low track. Very few kids went out for baseball.
Do you remember where there were many dropouts?
Yeah, I think it was. Because I know some of the kids started with us and they kind of dropped. Yeah, yeah.
Because nobody paid too much attention.
No, at that time,
sort of expected blacks to drop out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, in that particular period, and now we're into the 40s now.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, when you said, well, ago you got a job. What kind of job?
I'm doing housework.
Is that about the only kind of work you can get?
For blacks, yeah. Mm,
you couldn't get a job as a waitress. So.
No.
Nothing like the Gap.
No,
and of course, the jobs at Ford were men's.
Men jobs, yeah. No women's. Very few women's. But
did many people go from here over to Ann Arbor?
No, we had buses.
Buses.
Mm. Yeah, that's why most of them did their work.
And then over there, of course, it was still, though, the maid, cook.
The housework, cleaning the dorms. And they begin to open up, like, nurses' aid, you know, cleaning the patients and this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But no.
Do you recall in those days running in there any Negro nurses?
No. Uh-uh.
And to your knowledge, the only doctors, of course, could not practice over there, could they? At the hospitals? Not necessarily over there, but at the hospitals.
They could practice at the hospital. Because at that time we had, you know, Dr. Bass and Dr. Clark was the two black doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Perry was the dentist.
Yeah.
So they practiced.
You weren't here none of the time that my doctor and the other doctor had the hospital across the street from high school.
No.
That was before your time. Do you recall whether, I know most blacks went to these black doctors and so forth, but do you recall if there was any problems about blacks going to white doctors or vice versa?
No.
You know, in the 40s, it was one of those problems.
Most of the time, if you had surgery, they referred you to a white doctor anyway.
Now, if you and I say we went to church on Sunday morning and we decided, well, let's go downtown and eat dinner. What do we do?
Well, you go home.
You go downtown.
No.
You go to Hobbs.
Heavens, no. No Hobbs. You went to church and you left church and you went home and ate your dinner and there was afternoon service, you went back to church. So
what about other recreation?
That was about all you had.
Did you ever belong to any of the clubs when you were young? Social clubs?
No. We had a club out in the village area. I can't even remember the name of it.
What did you do? Just a bunch of girls?
Yeah. Both girls and boys got together.
Got parties on weekends.
Yeah. That sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. No big clubs.
Mm-hmm. You ever go to the show?
Yeah, we had a theater. A big theater.
You mean here in Ypsilanti or out in the village?
No, we had one out in the village.
Oh, yeah.
But we could go to show here.
Martha
Washington.
Had Martha Washington segregating
there? Oh, I guess they had, because we could go to the Martha Washington Awards, too. I don't know. I can't remember where we sit, but we could go.
You could go to both of them, I think. There was no problem. There had been earlier a problem.
Yeah.
I believe it was DeMarcus Washington who didn't accept him at all until somebody filed a suit.
Yeah.
I haven't found out everything about that suit, but I do know there was a suit. And before that, the worst you would go and you could sit down.
Yeah, yeah.
But we could sit. Go to it all.
Yeah, we could sit anywhere because we had office. What was the name of the thing? Can't even remember what the name was. But we could sit anywhere.
Yeah.
That was in the village. Mm-hmm. We had a theater.
Now, during that particular time, of course, you were around here right after the Second World War. That was the latter 40s.
We were growing up during the time of the World War. Yeah.
Now, that was a period when practically all over the United States, almost in every community, there was a push, particularly because of the returning soldiers,
uh-huh.
for total integration.
Uh-huh.
I think that during that time you had a local NAACP chapter. It later
yeah.
became defunct, but I
yeah.
think you had
yeah,
a chapter
we did.
During that time.
Yeah.
Did you ever get involved? Did you ever have any involvement with that?
No, just
directly. I mean.
No, not mm-hmm. indirectly. You know, they had a meeting, we would go, and you know, never did anything drastic
mm-hmm.
until later on. Then mm-hmm. we got organized and got interested in it
because
mm-hmm. they would push for certain things, and you know,
yeah.
everybody got involved.
Mm-hmm.
We was a kind of a community that sort of band together in, you know, in a kind of crisis. Everybody know each other. And we kind of band together. The kids know the kids and the parents know the parents. And you know, if anything happened, there was a crisis, everybody got together. And
about the relationships of those black folks with the white folks?
Well, you know, where we lived, we were sort of segregated. And it wasn't until they had the blacks in two areas. And then after they got filled, then they started putting blacks all over the community. And then, it was just like, you know, just like it is now. No problem. You had to have somewhere to stay. So, and if your next door neighbor was a white,
all those like, anticipated problems didn't show up.
No, uh-uh. It didn't show up until later on, yeah. Because as long as you know, the government owned the houses, they put you anywhere they want to put you. So you had to have somewhere to stay, so you stayed. But then after the government got out of it, then that's when your problems start, you know. This area was too, you know, it's not for me, I moved someplace else. And you know, all along, when the government had it, they lived next to each other.
Because as the people became, people got more money too.
Yeah.
They could afford
yeah.
to move out.
Yes.
At first they couldn't do anything.
They else but live there. But then after they got jobs, you know, the war was over and jobs got a little bit plentiful and well, they moved anyway. They had a choice.
Yeah.
But beforehand they didn't have no choice.
Of course blacks had a choice too.
Yeah, they began to move out too and then, you know. Because that's when a lot of the blacks from out that area moved to Inkster.
Yeah.
But see, they opened up Inkster.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them moved there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You didn't feel any particular pressures then at that particular moment
uh-uh.
from the white-black situation.
Uh-uh.
In 1954, the Supreme Court decision was handed down.
Uh-huh.
Along about May or June, May, I think. Sometime in May. Did that have any effect on Ypsilanti as a whole?
Let's see, was it 54?
Yeah.
We as an area got together and we got organized. And that's when we went to, well, before then, one of the schools was all, they put all the blacks in one of the schools. And we had a problem. They wanted to integrate that school. So they did. And then after, oh, I guess, let's see, is that 50? They was talking about going to court then in order to get the schools integrated. So they did.
Did they go to court?
They went to court, finally. They went to court in, must have been 59, I believe. They finally took them to court. And that's when Willow Run schools became integrated. They had to restructure. Yeah, just distribute it. So all schools had end up with blacks in it. But before then, they just had certain schools that blacks, two schools that the blacks went. And
was that elementary or was that on the high school level too?
No. The high school have always been integrated.
Even the one in the village.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes, okay. Yeah. But this was elementary school. Yeah. They had to change the boundary.
So, now in that change, of course, something else happened, I presume, and that is that you started adding black teachers.
Well, we had started adding black teachers before then. Because when my sister was in the fifth grade, they hired the first black teacher, and that was Johnny Chaney.
Oh, that's Miss C.
Yeah, they hired her. And
now you said when she was in the fifth grade, when would that approximately have been?
That must have been in 40. It must have been 45, 46 or something. Mm-hmm. I think it's 46. Mm-hmm. Cause she just retired.
Yeah, I know.
And she was the first black teacher that they hired
in
that district. Yeah, and then they start hiring, you know, a few others. As the years went along, they hired more and more. Yeah.
Okay, in that process now, from the time they hired Ms. Chin to the time to now. Uh-huh. Who got involved in bringing the pressures? There had to be somebody getting involved in pressuring the school system to take this.
The blacks.
Yeah.
The blacks did.
The blacks.
Yeah. That wasn't
under the NAACP.
No. Right. This was just some blacks that had children in school and they wanted to do something. We had to do something. So we got organized. The same way when they started selling houses. When the government said that they was no longer would keep Willow Run, it had to be torn down, they started building houses. And they'd build houses in one area, and then they'd build houses in another area. And the blacks got involved then, because we had to have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
And they was building houses where, you know, the whites could buy.
Not considering the blacks.
No. So then we organized. But, you know, once somebody started, and then everybody else kind of join in, and so we had a really good relationship.
Okay, now, because I'm learning something about the village. Now, when they started doing that, previously, black people had had difficulty borrowing money to buy a home.
Yeah, right.
Did that start easing up?
A little. But see, by that time, the federal government, FHA, had changed.
I see. Yeah.
And, you know, you worked and you paid enough money, so much a week or so much a month, or you got your down payment.
Yeah.
And then the government would finance
your
houses. So that's how we got started. But long about that time, some of the blacks had moved out. That's when my parents moved to, bought a house in Ann Arbor.
Oh, I see.
They moved in, it must have been 55. Mm-hmm. They bought the house in Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. And then by that time, you know, the older folks who had been saving their pennies, they began to move out
and buy
homes elsewhere. And then the younger folks was still there. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of, you know, we kind of worked to save until, and then by that time the borrowing was a little bit, had eased up some. Mm-hmm. And you could borrow money. So
we
bought.
In other words, even you can say that even in your time, you have seen the changes.
Oh, yeah. We have changed from, you know, the point where you couldn't get anything to the point now you can borrow $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, you can go in business. That was one time you couldn't even go in business.
Yeah. oh, several months ago, Johnny Barnfield went down to the local bank and borrowed $500,000.
And I went to school with Johnny Barnfield.
And here just a few years ago, Johnny went down to the National Bank. He wanted to borrow. That's when he was first going into business. He wanted to borrow $60 to buy his wife a coat.
And he couldn't get it.
John Randall. And now he can go in
and get anything he wants.
Successful and get anything
right.
he wants.
That's true. And it's too bad.
Well, it's good.
In a way.
It's good. It's too bad that they had to go through that.
All this changes in order to get it.
Yeah, right.
But it's...
But there are still people around who were in on the denial. And I've met some of them.
They but still have that, you know.
Yeah.
You supposed to be back here, yeah, and I'm right. up here.
Yeah. But they've also found out that some of their best credit risks
are blacks. Yeah.
Now, I guess I was interested in your general reaction to these changes. You mentioned the fact that in the village, the people got together there and began to insist that something be done, and that reminded me of something somebody had said. Somebody the other day was telling me, he said, you know, when I came here, Ypsilanti was one of the most prejudiced places that I'd ever imagined. And they said it was just like down south. Now, I admit this was a little different period, but the period that you came here, you wouldn't make that kind of a blanket statement.
But it was, you know, it was prejudice.
Yeah.
But you know, they had to, you know, we was there, they had to live with it, or they had to deal with us. And they just, you know, they deal with it on a snotty basis, but they still dealt with it. You know, that's like in the stoves, you know. We used to go on lunchtime. We used to go leave high school and go downtown, you know. They had to wait on us. You know, they didn't want to do it, but, you know, hey, this is business.
Of course, you'd walk in that old dime store that was still there when I was
there. Yeah. And, the two dime stores.
You couldn't walk in there and get a soda.
No. Not at first we couldn't.
Yeah.
But then it got to the point where you could. You could eat anywhere. Well, Cunningham's was there. Yeah. That was a restaurant where the chicken place is in Michigan at the Falk.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that place was the only place that we could go and have lunch. You could go in Cunningham's, but you know, we get out of school at 11:30, and you didn't get served till, you know, 11:45, almost time for you to go back to school.
Yeah.
So a lot of kids stopped going to Cunningham, and then we started bringing the lunch and walking downtown and eating it on the way back and this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But then they got to the point where they, you know, had to serve us.
That's right.
And then it got to the point where our money was just as good as anybody else's. Okay. But it was a long time before they would hire, you know,
anybody. Have you ever seen a black person working at Cunningham?
Yeah. They finally did hire.
Well, the thing I'm always looking at, the one out here in Washington, I've never seen.
No. Right. Well.
I haven't seen one.
There is. Let's see, what is the guy's name? He had been there for years.
One downtown?
No, the one out in Washington.
Yeah?
Black? A black guy. I don't know whether he used to be the custodian or what, but he works, he's in there, and he waits on customers. You see him walk around, and he's been there a long time.
Yeah. You gotta know that. In this whole matter of this racial progress, what do you see as the thing that really brought it about? Really responsible for it?
I think. A lot of it when the boys came back from the service after World War II. You know, those guys didn't take no stuff. You did it or you know, hey, we come in to wreck up the place. And a lot of the merchants got afraid, you know. So then they kind of changed, you know. Gradually, you could go in the bank and, you know, You can go to the finance companies and borrow money, and, you know. So I think that changed a lot. And that would have been in the, you know, 50s.
Yeah.
51, 52. Things begin to change somewhat.
Can we change?
I think some of us did. And then others, no. No. Some of them, they still haven't changed. And this is the 80s. You know, they're still sitting back in the same old, you know, world that you was in, and everything should be the same way. But hey, and, you know, it's not like that. Life changed. Everything changed. Season, time. And this is a new day.
As you look at Ypsilanti and look at your children and grandchildren and think in terms of Ypsilanti as you grew up here and think of Ypsilanti as they grow up here.
There's a lot of difference.
What are the differences, and have they been, are they advantageous or are they disadvantageous?
Mine, I think it have changed. A lot, because my kids, a lot of their closest friends are white friends. My son was recently in a wedding, and
what does that mean insofar as his? Does that have any particular meaning? The fact that his friends are white.
He felt that, you know, this boy, and he was a friend from second grade, I think, yeah, all the way through high school. Yeah. And they have that closeness.
You didn't have that.
No.
Why?
No. Well, when I came along, the whites wasn't as open or wasn't as giving as they are in his age. I felt I was. But my mother always told me I was different. Because I have always said what I think, what I feel. And I have always tried to be a friend to, you know. But sometimes you don't, even though you try to be friendly, you don't get in a place. Now, my granddaughter, sometimes I think as the kids grow older and their parents get to the stage where, you know, want to regress instead of progress. And I think some of the kids that coming along with her now is kind of regressing. But in the, you know, the 60s and 70s when my kids was in school, it was different. And that was a different era. But now those kids have children like my granddaughter. And I don't know why. But they're getting, the mom and daddy didn't go through with it. But now their children is sort of going through it. But in our area now, they're going to have to do something with the schools, because the school that my kids went to, in the area where I live, all of the kids in that area are grown. You know, we have very few little kids.
Yeah.
So in turn, that school next year will be back to integrated.
Oh, yeah.
So they got to do something to, you know, restructure that school.
Well, of course, you are active, and it's just your nature to be active, I think.
Yeah, well, I am. I'm not as active now as I used to be. Yeah. I had Cub Scout for 11 years, and I had 4-H kids, and, you know, so I have always been one of those folks on the side of youngsters. I like to see them progress.
I guess the question I'm after is, you're seeing this regression.
Uh-huh.
And at the time you were coming along, because you were active, and there was purpose in your activity. It was not just the fun, at least I don't think it was. It wasn't just the fun of being out there. That was uh-huh. not all of it.
Uh-huh.
A part of it was that you were trying to push for an understanding, a push for a future. You would think about your children, and I want to make a better world for my children.
Right. So yes.
So you true. Got out here and worked with and the Voice Guide.
Right.
Guide. Mm-hmm. Okay. Today, they got all these freedoms that you didn't have and that you were fighting for and fighting to get and maintain.
True.
Now
true.
They've got it all.
And they don't.
And they don't worry about that.
I guess that is a point. Yeah. Yeah.
So what they do is more or less pull back, and they say to the white student, "I don't need you."
Mm-hmm. They still have that. And we got everything.
Student, and a white student who is talking to his parents, who never was quite convinced anyhow
that it was working.
Yeah. The thing that they've been teaching their kids is beginning to come out again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's the negative.
Yes.
And you get these two negatives together.
Together. And
they repel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get your, so you see, well, you and I, our generations, you talk about kids going downtown. Well, I didn't want to go downtown too, but there was a black kid going downtown,
mm-hmm.
and the white kid going downtown, but we didn't meet.
Yeah.
Unless it was on a rock fight.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. True.
But you see, here we are. We're coming up here now, and we came in. We went through a period when everybody felt, well, I got to get to know this person. You felt your kids felt they had to get to know the white.
Know the white kids.
The whites felt they
had to, yes.
But now
yeah.
we're getting back to the other
the old thing. Yeah, thing. Right.
Except the ground rules are slightly different.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of it that way.
And
I guess it is. Because they have like the, you know, the kids have the option, the boys club, the girls club, the boy scout and the girl scouts and all these things. They have them now,
yeah.
and they can take them or leave.
This is what you fought for.
Yeah, yeah, and the things we was fighting for, in order to get there. Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
And even in occupations.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I mean, you talk about working, going out working for Miss Ann.
Cleaning up a house, and now
the blacks want to do that.
No.
Well, they get those jobs that you never thought about.
That's right. In the bank and post office.
Yeah.
And,
so they don't have that limitation.
Yeah, yeah. Our limitation was a little bit lesser than theirs.
Yeah.
Even going in, as far as going in business.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, right.
Hey, we had very few folks that was in business.
And if they wanted to go into business, they couldn't go out and get the money.
No,
But now, if you want to go in business, you go out and
get
the money.
Small
business.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes I think I might apply for me one of them. Some stuff that I really didn't approve of.
Now, as we sort of recap this whole thing and everything that we've said, I'm not going to put on the paper because some of these have been little side issues.
Mm-hmm.
Side issue. I guess the thing that I'm after is a kind of a, where do we go from here?
I don't know.
In your point of view.
I don't know. I think somewhere along the line, my children, you know, who I fought for out there, need to come back and do some stuff here. Now, I don't know, I'll do some stuff someplace. I don't know why, where, and how. But I try to instill in them that, you know, we all are equal. There is no such thing as a black-white world. There is a world, and you fit in it. You can have anything you want to have as long as you work for it. And not to put all your eggs in one basket. Have a variety of eggs to go in the basket. You know, in other words, don't, if you're going out look for a job, get you a little more education with that job. It don't have to be in that field that you were in, but get it in something. And try to get as many little education things as you can. I have been doing a lot of things. You know, like I trained for welding. I took a class in welding. And I took a class in, I've been a 4-H leader. I've been a program assistant. I taught food and nutrition for 5 years. And then in turn, I cooked for the senior citizen for a year and a half, and I drove for them, and, you know, sort of a month or two for things. And right now, I went to school, and I took up home health aid, and now I'm working in that, and the nurse is trying to convince me to go and get my RN. These are some things that I keep telling my kids. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. Find out what's out there. There is a job out there for you, special made for you. Seek and try to find what that job is.
But you're blessed with an inquisitive mind, and not everybody has that.
Well, I guess that's
unfortunately they don't. You have this inquisitive mind, and I can recognize that. That you are what we sometimes refer to as a dilettante. That's what I am. You know that about me already.
That's right.
Got to
do something else.
Got to do something, and I got to find something else. There are people who are not like that. There are people who look for that one thing, and once they settle on that one thing,
that's it.
Yeah. And they can do that the rest of their lives.
Yeah. But then, in turn, they get bored.
Sometimes they get bored. I guess we all get bored to a certain extent. Yeah. But some people would rather do that than to put forth that little extra effort to do the kind of thing you're doing. Yeah. You put forth the extra effort to go out here and learn how to weld, for example. Yeah. Or to learn how to cook certain ways. That was an extra effort. People are not going to put forth that.
I guess. And
the only thing you can hope is that your kids
are
like you.
Yeah.
But they're not all going to be like
you. No, that's true. Because none of them is. Well, I think one of them is. Now, I have one that's, right now he's an apprentice, carpenter apprentice, and he's been in this for a good while. And he's working with my brother in his shop, and he would like to go to school to take some accounting or something in that area.
In four years, he could go to school, and he wouldn't have to be an apprentice carpenter anymore.
That's true.
But that's the way you see it.
Yeah. I'm seeing it that way, but he ain't quite seeing it that way. Yeah.
It's too hard for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I say this.
It was longer. Ipsilanti had no black teachers until, I would say, the 50s. At the high school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what that makes Ipsilanti stand. I don't remember who was the first black teacher, but when we was going, there was no black teacher.
I don't know.
All the teachers were white. Because I understand Leo did teach. No, Leo taught at Ipsy or not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of the other teachers did not teach it.
Yeah.
At the high school. They didn't teach until they moved the high school, built a new high school.
They were just moving, blacks were just moving up into teaching when I came in. Mm-hmm. And that was in the 60s.
But Willa Run have had black teachers for a long time.
Longer than.
Yeah, longer than Slant. Because Van Zedek taught.
Yeah.
In Willa Run.
Yeah.
He taught my brother.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at the different school systems and say, hey, you know, even though Ypsilanti was here when I was going to school, they still was segregated. Yeah. So, I don't know.
This is the Great Michigan.
That's right. But all things is the same, they say. But it's not. And it's still not.
You know that a white man told me this. And way back, I think the guy's name was Amos. They said he used to every year run for the city council. And every year he'd lose. Said, then one time he won. So they decided they weren't going to tell him.
That he won?
Mm-hmm. So they didn't tell him.
Oh my goodness.
Until the end of his term.
Then they told him
his term had run out. Then they told him. That was before the election or any black.
Yeah. But, you know, it was a long time that they had, you know, you would see, even in election, you would see, you know, all the election, you never seen a black person working, you know. And then we changed that.
Well, they said that the way black people got to work, the people on the council and the people in public office, each one, would appoint people to work in the election. Mm-hmm. So you had to get a black person elected before you get people to work in the election.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Seymour was elected, Seymour had the opportunity of naming some blacks to work in the election.
Yeah.
Well, of course, since Seymour was in there, you've always had a black in the city council.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So there's always been black
work. Let me see, I've been working the election about 26 years. Mm-hmm. I've always worked in the election.
Mm-hmm.
And I started in the, you know, the township election first.
Yeah.
And then I I was talking to somebody and they said, well, why don't you sign up for the school? So I signed up for the school and I've been working the school election for, I guess about maybe 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been chair for last 10, mm-hmm. maybe 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nothing new. But we always work in our election, we always work in one general area.
Yeah.
They try to put it now where most of the blacks vote, they have black workers. At least try to have three blacks working. Mm-hmm. So
in this last election, we went and did close to the school where Mark works.
Fletcher.
Fletcher.
Yeah.
All the people sitting there were not black.
No.
Now occasionally there is.
Yeah, but now
you know why that is? We in Ward 2.
Yeah. Yes.
And you don't have any black folks on the council in Ward 2.
Really? Well, now
we have Nat Edmonds.
Yeah.
And this oldest Republican fellow just got elected. I can't tell his name. And I'm saying also, of course, this is a predominantly white area.
Uh-huh.
But I'm saying also that we could possibly have a black working in the election up here.
Yeah.
But we'd have to go and bring pressure on Nat Edmonds. And nobody's ever done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my daughter voted for Fletcher, I think. Because she lived over by Pavement.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody ever bring any pressure against her.
Yeah.
I know Nat.
Yeah, and it seems like, it seems like the controversy that you have is among the area where the black folks. That's Perry and Metropolitan. Now, all the controversy.
Yeah.
But now, in our township, we have, both of the township has both. They have an equal, try to have at least one black, two black. Now, ours try to have at least, if it's six working, it's 3-3.
Yeah.
So, which is good.
Well, George is in this board.
Yeah.
But I don't think George has any appointment. He may have, I don't know. And there's probably some more. I know there are. There's some other precincts in this ward. Uh-huh. And maybe in some of the other precincts there are blacks. I just don't
know. Well, you know, we go to the meeting, area meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that many.
Well, I know Evelyn Beatty, but she's in Ward 1.
Is she?
Now, she works in the election.
Does she?
But that's down there.
Edessa works.
Yeah, Edessa and someone else works.
Yeah, Ruby Bradley and Mose Bass. Yeah. And because I think Mose is a chair.
Yeah. But see, over here, it's growing. So far as blacks are concerned, but there's never a large group.
Yeah.
And then we got the same kind of problem other folks have. Even some of the blacks over here don't vote.
Yeah. We try to get, I have worked as a registrar, trying to get, register folks and this other thing. But I have always, most time, I usually work all school election. I work, and most of the township election. Mm-hmm. It depends on who's the clerk is.
Oh, yeah. We tried. We went. We actually helped them on the south side in that registration.
Did you?
It's roots. My pocket room was taking roots over there, and in some places I wouldn't let it go by itself.
Yeah, yeah. So, we do a lot in trying to register the young.
Well, you say we, and you say that nicely, but I'm just aware that whatever you're doing, you're out there by yourself.
We try to work with our senior citizens. We get them to the poll, we get absentee ballots, and we take them around and register them for absentee, and then we take the absentee ballot back, and, you know, we assist them in their voting. We have done this for, I guess, last 6-7 years.
That's nice.
Somebody has to do it, you know. Hey, I'm going to be a senior citizen.
Sure, we'll all be
senior citizens. Somebody have to do it for me. I figured maybe somebody do it for me. Maybe nobody won't, but that's the reason you see Miss Seed and, you know.
You are doing your bit. You are doing your bit to make the world a little bit better for somebody else.
That's true. I was always taught, you know, to help your fellow man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to do. Satisfy my,
you
know, responsibility to whoever.